Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. We kick off the show today with a conversation about meddling with time. Not in the style of H.G. Wells or Doctor Who, but with the very real and somewhat peculiar custom of daylight saving time. This weekend, those of us who still own analog clocks will try to remember to set them 1 hour ahead, but why exactly will we do it? It turns out there are pervasive myths about the origin of daylight saving time, but its true history is weirder than you could ever imagine. Michael Downing is professor of creative writing at Tufts University and author of Spring Forward, The Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time. Michael Downing, welcome to Word of Mouth.
I'm happy to join you.
So many of us, probably most of us, change our clocks twice a year without a second thought, I would think. What inspired you to go deeper and write this book?
Precisely that confusion. I was sticking my finger into the face of my clock one October evening, and I thought, I have no idea what I've been doing for 40 years. I started to do a little bit of research, and the few facts I turned up instantly proved that everything I thought I knew about daylight saving was completely wrong. I'd always thought we did it for the farmers. In some vague way, I was helping American agriculture. The first fact I turned up was that the group most vociferously opposed to daylight saving in the history of the country were the farmers themselves.
Well, that's so funny that you would say farmers, because we had a conversation among our staff before we decided to do this segment. And since everybody had a different idea about why daylight saving is done, I think I thought it had something to do with the railroad. Somebody thought Benjamin Franklin came up with it. A few people said farmers. All that confusion convinced us that we had to do it. So what is the true story?
Well, you know, Benjamin Franklin almost invented daylight saving like he almost invented almost everything else, including lightning, apparently. He was living in Paris in the middle of the 18th century and noticed that Parisians slept through sunrise, which he considered a terrible waste of natural resources. He suggested to the Parisian authorities that they should fire off cannons to wake up the lazy Parisians. This didn't go over so well, but about 100 years later, it's William Willett, a Brit, who's riding through London on his horse and notices the same phenomenon, that people are sleeping through sunrise with their curtains closed, blocking off a natural resource. Because by the 20th century, the world was on clock time, it was possible for William Willett to invent daylight saving, which he did, proposed it to Parliament. It took several times of being laughed out of the place before the Germans suddenly, when World War I begins, decided they'd try daylight saving, the same plan to save energy, thinking if we gave people more sunlight at the end of the day, they would use less electricity.
So what was the public reaction when daylight saving became law? That's a pretty strange thing to change the way we look at time.
It was fantastically unpopular. It was both considered a kind of offense against what people called natural time or God's time, this fussing with the clocks. So what happened immediately is that people who hated daylight saving blamed everything on it. I mean everything from an increase in suicide to a failure of cows to give milk. And similarly, those people who loved daylight saving for various reasons credited it with everything from curing childhood diseases to basically saving the Western world.
Okay, so the way you make it sound, there's almost no benefit, but somebody must have had some sort of benefit or advantage because of daylight saving. So what were the pros?
Here are the pros. It does something very specific. The Chamber of Commerce in this country, even before the first time experiment when World War I was passed, understood if you gave Americans more time at the end of the day with sunlight, they would stop and shop on their way home from work. Daylight saving never worked as an energy saving plan, but it has been a fantastically effective retail spending plan.
You know, this makes me think of a sort of random question, but it occurs to me that I don't know which setup is correct. So are we about to enter the correct time, or are we, do you know what I mean? I'm totally out of my rocker here.
Well, you're in really good company, because we now have 8 months of daylight saving time. So in effect, daylight saving time, which is what we're going on to when we turn our clocks forward on the second Sunday of March, has effectively become standard time. We're on 8 months a year. So we have completely inverted the project of standardized time.
So what are some of the controversies historically and the controversies that are still happening today over daylight saving time? Why is it still being discussed and debated?
Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, it's principal confusion with daylight saving is that we have been sold it time and again by the Congress on the basis of energy saving. We were first told that we would save electricity. We never did. When we went to 7 months of daylight saving in 1985, Congress told us, assured us that we would save 100 million barrels of oil a day, which we didn't, not only because we don't use oil to save, to make domestic electricity, but it turns out daylight saving actually promotes energy use. When you give Americans more time, they leave the house. But when we go to the ballpark or we go out to the mall, we get in our cars. So daylight saving actually increases gasoline use. But the other arguments against it have really become more pointed as we've spread out the period of daylight saving, which was initially 6 months, and now we're up to 8 months. Here's what happens when you start trying to save daylight in March and November. You get very late sunrise times, particularly in western parts of time zones. For instance, Grand Rapids won't see a sunrise come the second Sunday of March until about 8:15 or 8:20 in the morning.
Wow, that's past the past rush hour.
You got that right. And it's also past the time that most school children are out on the street. Richard Nixon, who was one of the many longtime opponents of daylight saving, who then turned to it to try to solve the energy crisis during the Arab oil embargo of the 70s, tried to start saving daylight in February. There were a few bus accidents. A couple of school children were actually killed, and the plan was immediately scotched. So that's the big objection to these extended hours of daylight saving.
I'm speaking with Michael Downing, professor of creative writing at Tufts University and author of Spring Forward, the Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time, just in time to spring ahead this weekend. So there are some pretty remarkable stories connected to daylight saving time that you write about in your book, including a very bizarre delay of justice in the case of mobster Sam Cardinella. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, absolutely. Poor Sam was convicted of murder, and he was sentenced, and when he was about to be hung, he realized that his sentencing had not accommodated the change in the clocks, and that he was owed an hour, and Cardinella asked for the extra hour of time because he thought, if you're going to kill me, at least kill me fairly. And in fact, he was awarded that, and he was then hung at the proper moment.
Any other funny stories about how daylight saving time has altered the nature of typical events?
One of the most remarkable ideas about daylight saving that went unnoticed for 40 or 50 years was occasioned by Stalin's decision to adopt daylight saving. Of course, Stalin loved messing with the calendar. He was famously trying to get the institution of a five-day week so that there would be no weekends for the workers. And as part of this plan, his first five-year plan, Stalin adopted daylight saving. And he did this, though he pushed the clocks ahead in April that year. And then he forgot to tell the Russians, I'm not making this up, to turn their clocks back. Through the entirety of World War II and the Cold War, all of the clocks in the Soviet Union were off by an hour, and this was not noticed until the 80s when a Wall Street Journal reporter happened to find the problem. So it just goes to show us that in the midst of the measurement of every second seeming to count in the modern world, daylight saving has managed to make a mess of our clocks.
One of the things that drives me nuts, Michael, about daylight saving is it all seems so messy, given that some states choose not to observe it and others do. Historically speaking, which parts of the country have rebelled against changing their clocks, and who's still holding out today?
Well, you know, there was a very clear divide early in the century from the beginning of the experiments in World War I right through until 1966, which is the first year we get a national peacetime policy. And it typically was a rural-urban divide. Cities loved daylight saving time, and urban areas tended to hate it. But as time went on, the conversion process happened. And I do think it's absolutely true that when you give people sunlight, particularly in the colder reaches of the Northern Hemisphere, you give them late summer sunset times, they get addicted to it. We like to be out on the beach and out in the park late on summer nights.
It is nice. I'm looking forward to it.
You got that right. So the only holdout we have now in the 48 contiguous states is Arizona, who have That's the one state that does not use daylight saving time and refuses it on the basis of essentially states' rights, thinking the federal government shouldn't tell them what to do with their clocks. Hawaii has never adopted it because it's basically equatorial, so it has the same amount of sun almost every day, every all through the year.
That would be funny if they did it just because.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be the first. And there are a number of places that are nearly equatorial that have tried daylight saving. Because here's the problem with people not adopting daylight saving. Clock time has only two real utilities, and that's synchronicity and predictability. So when a state like Arizona is off daylight saving, it costs every bus line, every airline, and every truck trading company money to recalculate their schedules just for Arizona's sake.
So given all the reasons we've just talked about, are there any serious pushes to get rid of daylight saving?
No. In fact, the most serious pushes presently are to go on to daylight saving more, that is to extend it. Every 20 years, the Congress gives us another month, and there are many state legislatures, it happens every year, where there is a proposal to go on to full-time daylight saving time. Here's the catch with that. It's been tried. The British did it during World War II, and so did the Americans, and many cities have tried it in America. But what happens is people push their clock ahead onto daylight saving full year, and then come March or April, people's fingers get itchy. And what we end up with, traditionally, is what the British know as double daylight saving time. That is, we're actually 2 hours ahead. So I think the project will probably go forward.
So you started researching daylight saving time in an effort to better understand it. Having spent all this time, having written this book, are you going to be springing ahead this Sunday with a smile, or has your research left you a bit of a reluctant clock changer?
Well, you know, I live in Boston, and it's cold here. So I look forward to those late summer sunset times like everyone else. But I have to admit, the idea of springing forward in the middle of winter just seems preposterous to me. I'm really happy to wait until spring arrives on the calendar to turn my clock ahead.
Michael Downing is professor of creative writing at Tufts University and author of the book Spring Forward, The Annual Madness of Daylight Saving Time. Michael, I'm not sure it all makes sense, but thank you so much for explaining it to us.
Good luck this Sunday.
Thank you. We leave you with comedian Pete Holmes and his inaccurate but very funny take on daylight saving time.
Why is that a thing? Do you know? Do you know why it's a thing? I looked it up. Farmers. Are you listening? Farmers. Farmers is why we all change our clocks for farmers. They need an extra hour of daylight for their harvest. So we all, 300 million of us, set our clocks back and change our schedule for what, six? Is it six farmers? Seven tops? I'll give you seven, maybe. How did that even go? The first time we did this, how did that conversation go? Was it a phone call and the farmer's like, hey, hello, the government? Is this the direct line to the government? Yes, this is farmers. Listen.
In just a minute, word of mouth continues with singer-songwriter Marissa Nadler. The Boston Globe described her voice as, quote, an intoxicating soprano drenched in gauzy reverb that hits bell-clear heights, lingers, and tapers off like rings of smoke. You can listen for yourself when word of mouth continues.